it's recording.
Yeah, it should be on. Good to be back.
My name is Susan. I am able to cover a time
during the going all the way through. There's some awesome clapping back there. So I was here for quite a while, for 4 years and then another 4 years before this building was made, before the shirt was made. And
we're back.
We're back. I usually get the slot at 12 o'clock, but apparently you guys don't get up for chakras. So it looks like we're going to have to move up to 10:30 so you guys can get up for chakras all morning. So if anybody doesn't get up for chakras and Roshi blames me, I am not going to take that yelling. So the Roshi's not here tomorrow? Lucky guys. Okay, here we go. We kind of like this. Coffee's client used to say that used to go around and used to tell people that everyone has a chiyuv to go to kiruv. Everybody has a chiyuv to go out and to impress upon people to learn and to do as much as they possibly can and go do one thing after the other thing after the other thing. That's what the Chofetz Chaim said. So people said to the Chofetz Chaim, it's not shy. We're not there. Not everybody is able to do this type of kiruv. Not everybody is able to start working with people and start learning with people and doing things like this and that and the other. So people aren't like that. We just can't do it. So it's not shy for us to do such a thing. So the Chofetz Chaim gave a mashal. There's a guy who came to a town and he asked for a drink of water. So they brought him a drink of water, but it was like, I know you don't watch movies, but if you ever didn't see Back to the Future Part 2, where he went back into the Old West and they gave him a drink of water, it was all brown with like a little stick inside there, right? And they gave it over to him and they said, here's the water. So he said, like, oh, you guys not filter your water? They said, no, we live in Israel. So he said, listen, I'll tell you what you can do. You take the water, you put a strainer on it, you put it on top, and you get the water all the way through, and that way you'll have clean water and everything will be good. So they tried it, they realized it's unbelievable water, and they said, this is a great idea. They started straining their water, started doing everything with straining their water. Since about the time, a couple weeks later, he came back to the town, there was a huge fire going throughout the entire town. All the houses were on fire. So the man said to them, quickly, get the water. Let's go throw it on top of the fire. And he said, we can't. It's not done straining yet. So he looked at them and he said, you fools. You think you need strained water to be able to take care of a fire? When there's a fire, you just run and you throw any water you possibly can and you throw it on top. Here's the deal, says the Chofetz Chaim. Yeah, we're not all ready to go out and do kiruv and to try to help other people and try to get them to learn. We're not all ready for stuff like that. Says the Chofetz Chaim, everyone has the ability to do something. Everyone can do something. You just have to do whatever you can do. Start it off, see what you can do, get somewhere, and try. If you don't do that, you're not going to have a chance. If you start it off, at least you get somewhere. So here's the deal. Parshas Vayeshev, one of the strangest parshiyos you'll ever see in the world. There's nothing like it. And if you don't have any questions on Parshas Vayeshev, either you're the biggest Avi Choruser out there, or you're a really smart guy and you should be in my place right now standing up in front. Because if you don't have any questions on Parshas Vayeshev, there's some issues. There's some major, major issues. What's the machlokes Yosef and the Shvatim? And don't tell me that the Shvatim didn't really understand who Yosef HaTzadik was. You can't say that. We're talking about the Shvatim as well as Yosef himself. What in the world is wrong with Yehuda and Tamar? What in the world is that? Who would do such a thing? And does it say that Yehuda, the ship they call, gets up there and starts with a zona? What is this? It's like he didn't go to town at night. That never happens, especially on Thursday night. That's not him. That's not Yehuda. So what is this? Number two. Number three. Yosef and Zleika, wife of Potiphar. Her name was Zleika. What in the world? It's such a... Like Yosef said, he was able to pull himself away from her. Sorry, man, who came down to Mitzrayim. And Avram's like, oh my gosh, she's so beautiful. Because nobody in Mitzrayim is beautiful. For whatever reason. I'm PC. So for whatever reason, nobody's beautiful in Mitzrayim. It's a terrible thing in Mitzrayim. Terrible thing in Mitzrayim. So Yosef Tzadik goes down, and this lady comes up to him. Obviously, he's beautiful, because the only beautiful person was Sarah. Nobody down there is beautiful. And he's swayed by an ancient beast. Who here would be... Okay, I'm not going to ask that. But how is there a sway? Like, you're Yosef Tzadik. Granted, the girl's coming up to you and saying, please, be together with me. Please, be together with me. Please, be together with me. You better believe you should say no. Is that a shocker? That he's like, no, I'm not going to do it. Ooh, Tzadik. Tzadik. What do you expect? Why wouldn't you expect that out of Yosef? The three huge questions. So we're going to try to explain them. The best way that we possibly can is starting off with Shvat. First of all, Yosef Tzadik was well known as being the king of hiding his greatness. Hiding how great he actually was. Can you imagine if the Shvatim come down to Mitzrayim, they look up at the throne and they see a white boy on the throne in a land full of people that are African Americans, and he sees them up there and he sees this one white boy on the throne. They're just like, who's that? And they don't ask anything. And don't tell me, even if you go to Ramban by his knacker, that he was able to hide himself by putting on a mask. His hands are white. Is he wearing gloves? He's got his kid, his 7-year-old kid, who's the translator. It's Menashe. His little white boy who knows Hebrew in Mitzrayim. Who's this kid? Let's not ask. What's going on? Why in the world did nobody ask about this white guy who's up on the throne and say, who is this guy? Oh, his name is Yosef. Wow, that's such a crazy coincidence. Because you'll never believe what happened 22 years ago when we sold our brother Yosef down in Mitzrayim. It could be. No, it can't be. I mean, he's white. Our guy didn't have a beard. This guy's got a beard on. I can't, this is no way he could be the same person. He looks so much different. I mean, a beard don't just grow like that. And come on. What is it? What in the world happened over here? Because Yosef Tzaddik was totally different. He's the Tzaddik Yisod Olam, the Tzaddik who rules over all the world. He's one of the Lamed Bav Tzaddikim. You don't know who the Lamed Bav Tzaddikim are? Sure, the Lamed Bav Tzaddikim could be great Tzaddikim, but you don't realize who those Lamed Bav Niks are? They're, so to speak, hidden Tzaddikim. It's Elio Anavi. Elio Anavi could be anyone at any point in time. Somebody just sitting around there could be anyone. Yosef Tzaddik hid his ability to know everything, and he knew everything. Yaakov Avinu taught him everything at night. The Ksodas Possum, did he have the name Possum? You know what happened? I have a cousin. She's not from. She comes home one day, and she says to me, oh, look at this necklace that I just got from someone in Arzestral. So what did the necklace say? You know the art school sitter, by Birchas Kohanim, when it has all those names of God that you should scan but not read? Have you ever read them? Tell me now. You did. You're not going so far down into heaven. But it's sound. Saying those scanning. So one of the names there is the name Pei Samach Yud Mem. That's the shame. The shame Chav Beis, which is supposed to be those letters. That's the shame that Yaakov Avinu was teaching Yosef Tzaddik. Yaakov Avinu and Yosef Tzaddik were together every single night, learning these sugyos, learning these types of inyanim, and no one else knew about these. Yosef Tzaddik didn't tell anyone, and Yaakov Avinu wasn't going around telling anybody that Yosef Tzaddik was that way. Yosef Tzaddik was a man who knew everything and didn't tell anyone anything that he knew. He had the ksonis pasim. In other words, he had the ability to know these shemos hakadoshim, these things that we just dream about that only the Spartan can do when they're 12, that these types of things that we have absolutely no shaykhs to. That was Yosef Tzaddik. And he was a Talmid Mufak. A Talmid Mufak of Yaakov Avinu. And we know that a Talmid Mufak to a Rebbe, according to Chafetz Chaim, is Nemen Olam Kevei Trei. And therefore, any Lashon Hara that is said over from a Talmid Mufak to a Rebbe in that type of way is not considered Lashon Hara, because it's only for the good of that Rebbe's other Talmid. If that's so, then Yosef Tzaddik never really spoke Lashon Hara. His Lashon Hara was there for a purpose. What he said about the Shvatim was there in order to help out the Shvatim. Thus, no Lashon Hara, Nemen Olam Kevei Trei. You have that concept that's brought out there. And Yosef Tzaddik had only good intentions in mind, because he knew that the Shvatim had set these chumras that they weren't holding up. These chumras that they didn't have. It wasn't that sound they were being together with women or making fun of the B'nai Shvatos or going ahead and eating Abraham and Achai. They're not looking at an animal's, oh, that's an ear, and cutting off the ear and eating it. That's not what they were like. The Shvatos should take call. Beyond anything you could possibly imagine how great these people were. How great the Shvatos were. There's nothing like them. Nothing close to them in the world. And when Yosef Tzaddik saw this and realized they could go just a little bit further, they could have a chumrah or two, another chumrah, another added chumrah that they could have for themselves. He knew that he couldn't say anything to them, because who's he? He hides himself. They didn't look at Yosef Tzaddik as being any greater than them. In fact, they thought Yosef Tzaddik was just a little kid. So he went to Yaakov Avinu and he said, there's something that the Shvatim could work in. But the Shvatim, they knew who was saying these things to Yaakov Avinu. They knew that there was something going on, and they assumed that it was Lashon Hara, because why is this person any greater than us? He is not more of a Talmud Mubak than we are. They didn't know what was going on at night between Yaakov Avinu and Yosef Tzaddik. They had no idea that Yosef Tzaddik was really the Talmud Mubak. So they were never known to be a trade didn't apply. So therefore, he's speaking Lashon Hara. Now you've got a real problem. Now you've got the Shvatim thinking that he speaks Lashon Hara, which up until now is not so bad. But there's a hatred. You know why there's a hatred? Leah was also hated. Think Leah was hated? Think Yaakov Avinu went around the house and said, like, Rachel, I love you, and Leah, geez, just stay over there! You think that really happened? Can you imagine the Avos and the Imos together, and this is the situation between them? Chas v'shalom, there was any hatred. But Chaim Kinevsky has the line, and he says it perfectly. He says, the Avdolorah for Kaholka, there's no in-between. It's either you love or you hate. I didn't like. Like is a different story altogether. You love somebody or you hate somebody. If you love someone, then you show that love to that person. You'll do what you can for that person to be better. It's like one person to another person. But if there's ever a point where you say, I don't want to do that thing for that person, that other guy looks at it as if you hate him. There's no in-between. It's either they have to learn for Kamoga or Losisna Sapika Bilboga. You're automatically over on Losisna Sapika. You're automatically over on the hatred of having for somebody else when the Shvatim couldn't love Yosef as much because of this supposed lashon hara that they saw, they had a problem. They couldn't find it in their hearts to show a love for Yosef with them. They couldn't do it. And then Yosef started having dreams. Why Kadosh Baruch Hu made him have dreams? Not for us. But Yosef HaTzadik had dreams. Says the Rosh, a tzaddik like Yosef who has dreams, it's nevuah. It's not like us having your dream. You wake up, oh, we're going to the booty. That's not it. He gets a dream. It's a pure nevuah, pure prophecy from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And a Navi that withholds his nevuah is what? Chayav Misa. If he withholds his nevuah, he's Chayav Misa. So Yosef said, I couldn't keep it to himself. So he went straight to the Shatim and he said to the Shatim, said to the Rosh, he went straight to the Shatim and he said, here's what I saw. Tell me what you think this means. What do you think this is supposed to be? And the Shatim told him exactly that. He said, I understand what you're thinking, Yosef, that you're going to be the leader. But these are Yerushalmi and Trumas. And don't tell me the Shatim didn't have Yerushalmi and Trumas. When Eliyahu HaNavi went up to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and said, I don't appear for a Moser. A guy who tells on people to the government, I will not appear for it. But if Yeshua ben Levi doesn't appear for a Moser, then you better believe that a Baal Lashon Hara is not going to get Nebuah. So they looked at Yosef at that and said, you're a Baal Lashon Hara. You think you're getting Nebuah? That's wrong. You're a Navi Sheker, says the Moshe of the king. You're a Navi Sheker. What's the punishment for a Navi Sheker? Chayav Misa. So they went to Yaakovin and they paskin. And even though they were all brothers and a father and a basin cannot be comprised of relatives, I realized that. But back then there was no choice. They said, Yosef HaTzadik is Chayav Misa. And said, Yaakovin Aviv Shamaris and Davar. He yelled at Yosef and he said, stop it. Stop it. But he said, I don't think you should be killed. But the Shvatim are the majority. And the Shvatim paskin. And a basin that paskins, you can't be malin as a din. So the Shvatim ran away. They went to Dosa. They said, we can't be near Yosef HaTzadik because we're afraid that we're going to have to kill him. So they ran away as far as they could. And when they heard that Yosef HaTzadik was coming, they ran even further from Shechem to Dosa. They went from Shechem to Dosa to stay as far away from Yosef HaTzadik as they possibly could. Why did Yaakov Avinu send Yosef HaTzadik to them? To try to make it up with them. To try to say Yosef HaTzadik, just say to them, try to deal with them, try to deal with it correctly. And Yaakov Avinu did have an assurance. Then he was going to have all 12 kids. And Yosef HaTzadik had that assurance as well, which is why he agreed to go in the first place. He understood that there was something that was there. Such a remnant. Well, what's he told us? Kol olam shiva yamin below kolam nikra ra. If you go 7 days without a dream, you're called evil. Why? Why? Rav Eliashiv says, the reason why is because if you don't dream about what you want to be in the future, you don't dream about what you want to do and where you want to go and those types of things, then you're called ra. You're called an evil person. How can you not think about what's going to be? You have to live every day and say, well, now I got to worry about what's going to be. No, you don't have to do that. But of course you got to think about the future. Of course you got to dream. You always have to dream. You always have to have these things inside your head. And to go 7 days without dreaming, without trying to be somewhere, without trying to improve yourself or going somewhere, mikra ra. That person doesn't deserve to be in this world, says Rabbi Yashin. That person doesn't belong here. And that was the fight between them. Because Yosef HaTzadik had these dreams. The same way now. People are always jealous of the guys with dreams. It's always the Jews with the dreams. Always the Jews. Because we're always successful. It's not sound that we're everywhere. That we just find ourselves in the most crazy positions everywhere. No matter where we are. Because we're so smart. So smart. Especially base guys. So it's just there. It's there for us for the taking. It's all there. Okay. So what do they want to do? So I'll use the thought coming. They immediately stick dogs on him because dogs, according to the Gra, are supposed to be what a person turns into in a yokel, whatever that means, after he speaks Lashon Hara and goes to Shemayim. Supposed to be misgalgal into a dog, so they stick dogs on him to try to get them. Or they shot arrows. Arrows is also supposed to be a reference to Lashon Hara, the Balachitzim, similar to what happened by Machar Chodesh and the Asura of Machar Chodesh with the Chasam Sofer. If you look it up, regarding David HaMelech and Yehonasan, there was a stock. They had to kill him. When they saw they couldn't kill him directly, and they didn't want to kill him when he was right there in front of them with a knife or a sword or anything like that, they decided they're going to put it in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. Not before doing something crazy. Yeah, the Busha Orev quotes down, it's one of the Yudal of the Forshei Rashi, that just like the Dasaru Gimalchus, Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol went up to Shemayim, and he asked Shemayim what to do. He asked the Malach Metat what to do up in Shemayim. Should they do the Dasaru Gimalchus? Should they not have the Dasaru Gimalchus? The exact same thing happened over here. Levi went up to Shemayim and asked, what's going on here? What's happening? Are we supposed to go ahead and sell Yosef? Are we not supposed to sell Yosef? Are we supposed to kill Yosef? Are we not supposed to kill Yosef? And the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm with you in whatever you do. There are only nine of them. Because the Reuven ended up leaving. 9 of them right there. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu was meshatev with them. Whatever you decide to do, I'm there. I'm going to be with you. I'm with you in everything you do. So the Shabbat decided it's up to us. So they threw him in a pit. That way they'd be over on a grum. They wouldn't be over on direct killing of Yosef. It's not even though that was the stock. They'll put him down there and they'll see what happens when it's in the pit full of snakes and scorpions and see what happens down there. Once they had that down and they saw that he wasn't killed, then they realized there's something we have to do. Now we've got a little bit of a problem. Why was Yosef safe on that pit? Why was he safe in the pit? He wasn't Chaimitza because he didn't speak Lashon Hara, because he was never known on Kivei Tshrei. But there's more to it. Why didn't? How does a person get a schutz to not speak Lashon Hara? How do you get that schutz? It's a Chassam Sofer. It's an unreal Chassam Sofer. It's the end of the Chassam Sofer Al Torah. In the very, very back, there's a bunch of things that he said in the Shir. It's written down by our official Sofer, his grandson. He says the following. He says, Chassam Sofer says the Lashon Hara is always known as Lashon Medaberes Kedolos. Gadol is the word that's always used for Lashon Hara. It says the same thing regarding Gilui Raya Shechus Dama Barazar. The word Gadol always refers to one of those three cardinal sins. It always refers to one of those. Avram Avinu is Gadol in our Shemona Esther. We say HaGadol, HaGibor, VeHaNoro. Gibor is obviously Gevura. Noro stands for the awesomeness of Yaakov Avinu. That's supposed to be the El Noro that he saw when he looked up and he saw the Sula. And Avram Avinu is supposed to be Gadol. Gadol was a reference to Chesed. Whatever way you can say Chesed, Gevura, and Tzaretz. Chesed. Some type of chesed that he had. And Avramino, if Avramino is with you, then you'll be able to defeat the power that Lashon Hara has over you. You'll be able to defeat the something that wants to make you speak Lashon Hara. How do you defeat it? So normally Avramino's name was Avram. I mean, before he changed his name. Then he got a hay. Where did he get the hay from? The hay stands for the Chamishe Chum Shekot. That's where the hay comes from. So Avram had the following. Avram added on a hay, which means when you learn Torah, and when somebody learns and sits and learns all day long, he'll be able to stop himself from speaking Lashon Hara. It'll stop himself from saying anything that's wrong. The more Torah you learn, the more things you say, then it'll stop you from doing anything. That's the line. It's in Tehillim. Min Lashni B'Seser Re'enu Oso Atzmit. Min Lashni B'Seser Re'enu. When I speak Lashon Hara against my friend, Oso Atzmit, that person is going to be destroyed. Said the Chassam Sofer, the first letters is Mem Beis Reish Aleph. For Avram. That stands for Avram again, because if you just have the Avram and you don't have the Torah, then you're going to speak Lashon Hara. However, over here, the Shlachim didn't think Yosef got to get more Torah than them. They thought, Havor Reik, Ebo Mayim. What's Mayim? Mayim always stands for Torah. Ebo Mayim, and Yosef didn't have Torah to be able to save him. But in the end, they said, no, it wasn't that way. He did have the Torah because he did learn with them at night. And thus the Rosh Hashanah are Havor Reik, Ebo Mayim is the Rosh Hashanah of Avraham. To be able to have the schutz of Avram Avinu to be able to be saved out of the pit without speaking Lashon Hara, and therefore he was able to be saved. So why sell him in the end? Why bother selling him? What would be the point of that? Look at his word. If we let him live, and he does stay among us, eventually someone's going to kill him. Someone's going to get so mad at the fact that they think that Yosef HaTzadik is speaking Lashon Hara. And we don't understand why Akash Baruch was not killing him here. But there's obviously something going on. Let's get rid of him. Let's move away, and we'll make a cherem. Then no one should tell where he is, and nobody's allowed to say anything. It could even be that Reuven never knew where he was. It doesn't say anywhere that Reuven ever knew what happened to Yosef HaTzadik. He says, Ananibo, where am I supposed to go? He had no idea what happened, and he couldn't ask anyone. He couldn't even get Ruach HaKodesh to try to find Yosef HaTzadik. Reuven had no idea what happened to Yosef HaTzadik. Absolutely nothing. And that was that. And they were all gone. They saved him out of the pit. They sold him down to the shrine. And he went down to the tzaddik to get him away from the shvatim until a Kurdish brought with this stunning deal to bring Yaakov and Yosef the tzaddik back. Okay. Pause. Yehuda and Tamar. Yaakov then he says, Yimach Shmam Dezichon. For anyone that says anything about Yehuda, anyone that says anything about Yehuda, together is down with the Zona, every person, any person that says that should be cut off from Klal Yisrael. Any person that says such a thing, they should be down with the Zona. So what's the deal behind Yehuda and Tamar? Let's understand. The way Chumash works the following, every time. You know when you were a little kid, when you drew pictures, you know, like first day of kindergarten, you drew the first day, right? What do you draw on the first day? You draw like, you had a little sheet of paper, like construction paper, it was a white sheet of paper, you cut like a little thing of black paper, like halfway, you put it on, you pasted it on, you're like, oh, it's mommy, light and dark, right? That's what you did. Second day, what did you do for the second day? Does anyone remember what was made on the second day? Not bad, not bad. You're there. There's Kiyash Shamayim. You have the separation between the Shamayim and the Mayim. Right? There's something there. That's a scope you got, by the way. Anyway, there's Shamayim and Mayim. There's some separation between them. So you have a little bit of water. You write like blue stuff on the bottom. And you have a little bit over there. Then as you get older, you start seeing these crazy things. You don't get taught Shas when you're a little kid. None of them learn Shas. They all learn Midrashim. Eliphaz. Everyone knows about Eliphaz, right? Eliphaz went and stole all the money from Yaakovinu before he went down to Mitzrayim. Before Yaakovinu ended up going to Laban. Everybody knows that. It doesn't say anything about that in the Chumash. We all learn about the Kishon Eish, right? How Avraham was willing to be thrown into the Kishon Eish. Is that one thing that says about that in the Torah? Why are we teaching the kids in the Midrash? Should I tell you why? Sari Neinu, what do we know about her from the Chumash? Hashit Shat in the Chumash. Nothing else. I'll tell you what we know about her. She lies twice and says she's Avraham's sister, and is together in a bedroom with two kings. No one knows what goes on. Okay? That's one. Number two, if you just go by Pashat Shat, you're a Reform Jew. Then number two, not only does she kick out Hagar once, as well as her kid, send her off to die, she also punches her in the stomach and makes sure she miscarries before Yishmael was born. That's number two. Number three, she says to Avraham Avinu, after Hagar gets all indignant, she says, it's all your fault. It's all you. When she laughs at the fact that she's going to have a baby, and Avraham Avinu goes up to her and said, why did you laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. Is that unbelievable? Do you know anything good from the Pesukim about Sari Neinu? Unbelievable? I'll go another way. What do you know bad about Laban? What did Laban do that was bad? Unless you say, well, he tried tricking Yaakov 10 times, which is what Yaakov said, while Laban said, no, all these sheep are mine. You stole everything. You took everything away from me. Do you know anything bad about Laban? Is there anything? Did he do anything wrong? I mean, excuses. He switched Leah and Rachel. Said, I never thought that you would take the other one over the old one. He's 100% correct. Esau. What do you know bad about Esau? I mean, Esau looks to be the good guy. Yaakov comes around, he's just like, hey, I don't want to sell you this. Give me the bakor, I'm going to give you these beans. your brother's dying. Esau's coming in, like, gasping for air, coming in the car, like, I just killed Nimrod. Please give me something to eat. Yaakov's like, it's like Shylock. What in the world happened? All of a sudden, like, all that you're going to take advantage of your brother while he's dying? And you're going to do that, and then later on, why the Broncos? Yaakov is told by Yitzchak to go out to the field and go hunt. And Yaakov comes in, steals the Broncos, and Yitzchak's like, I wanted a Bronco! But the Midrashim say, terrible things about Esau, terrible things about Laban, and great things about Sari Neinu. So look at the Chumash, Pashut Pshat. You will be a Kofer. There's no question. It's the one reason why when the Reform Jews started up and they started saying, let's learn Pashut Pshat for the Chumash, let's teach that to our kids. The Chassam Sofer got up and said, Ein Chadash min HaTorah. Chadash is also from the Torah. There's no way you can teach something like that to kids, because kids don't get it. You tell kids what it says, Pashut Pshat in the Pesukim, they'll say, like, what are you talking about? We know that Avraham Avinu and Sari Neinu and Yitzchak Avinu and Rivka Avinu and Yaakov and Leah and Rachel were unreal Gedolim. Unreal Gedolim that we couldn't describe. There's nothing to talk about. The Shiftei Khan, Yosef Atzadik, there's nothing to touch. No one here will ever be like any of the Avos or any of the Shvachim. You won't even come close to a toenail. The pinky toenail. That little guy. You won't even come close to the pinky toenail of them. You can't do it. There's no one like them. If you grow up knowing that concept and you read the Chumash, then you automatically say to yourself, I don't get it. And you look down at Rashi. And you try to translate it for yourself. Throughout the entire Chumash, throughout Navi, it says words, it says things. Reuben switches around the bed of Yaakov Avinu, and all of a sudden he slept with Bilhah. Well, what does one thing have to do with the other? Can you imagine people going around, Reuben, you were together with Bilhah? He's like, no, he switched the bed. I never did that. That's the way the Pesukim word. The Pesukim are that way for a reason. So to show you there's something beyond the Pshat. There's something there in between the lines. There's not one letter that connects to another letter in the Torah. If there's one letter that connects to another letter in any way, shape, or form, the whole Sefer Torah is puzzled. Because there's always something, not only between the lines, between the words, between the letters, between everything. You have to start learning. You have to figure out what exactly that is. Yud and Tamar? So what's going on with Yud and Tamar? What's the idea behind Yud and Tamar? What did they stand for? What way they were? By the way, that's the reason why Noah is called an Ish Tzadik. Right? Do you know anybody else? Tamim Hayu Gorosa. Can you imagine? Someone tells you, that man is tzaddik. Perfect in his generation. And what does the Gemara say? Yeah, if he was another generation, he wouldn't have been so good. What do you mean? The Torah is telling you he's a tzaddik. And the Gemara is like, yeah, maybe. What does that mean? Because that's the way of the Torah. When the Torah does go out of its way to say someone's a tzaddik, you have to darshan that out. Why would the Torah go out of its way and say that he's a tzaddik? It doesn't say that Avram was a tzaddik. It doesn't say that Yaakov was a tzaddik. It doesn't say Yitzhak. So why would it say about Noah? There's something to darshan. There's something to do. That's the point behind it. So what do you know about this? I've got 8 things that you need to know about Yehuda and Tamar before you get into anything. Number one, Aaron Onan were 8 years old when the whole Mitzvah happened. 8 years old, maybe 7. Reason why is because Yosef HaTzadik was only down in the town for 22 years. If Yehuda married the daughter of Shua right after Yosef HaTzadik was brought down. That's by Yered Yehuda. He went down, Rashi says, because he went down from his brothers after the whole sale of Yosef HaTzadik. That means that Aaron Onan were at best 7 or 8 years old. Because remember, you have to have Aaron Onan and Shelah. You have to have them be born, then get married, 2 of them die, and then you have to wait a little bit for Tamar not to be with Shelah, and then you have to have Yehuda marry Tamar. Then he had to have 2 kids, Peret and Zerah, and Peret had 2 kids when they went down to Mitzrayim 22 years later. That's darn impressive. Unbelievably impressive. I mean, he made up for a lot of lost time right there. So what is it? So Aaron Onan was 7 years old. According to all sheikhs, a 7-year-old can't be Mekadosh anymore. So there's no Kiddushin between him and Tamar. Aside from that, a Ben Noah cannot be Mekadosh with Diyah Shemot Kedarka or Shechvah Zerah Levatzalah. Either way you look at it, there was no full Kiddushin that was happening over there. Even if you say they were married, Yibum, before Matan Torah, could happen by any relative. It didn't have to be by the brother-in-law. Yibum could be done by any relative, including the father-in-law, including a son-in-law. That was in Shaykh, only if it was Mefuta Savi or 8 or Anusa Savi, but there's a Shaykh that had some type of a Yibum, if, before Matan Torah, in that type of a way. Number 4. Anyone know how old Tamar was? Bit of a discrepancy in ages. Either one parish says 3, another parish says 186. That's a big difference. You know why? Is she the daughter of shame, or is she a great-granddaughter of shame? That's the machlokas. She's the daughter of shame, she has to be 186, because shame died a long time ago. 183 years earlier. 186 years earlier. That's what it would have to be, 187. I forgot exactly what the cheshbon is. It's 3 years old, that means that she was so young, she wasn't ready to live in the Kabbalah Kiddushin. That's why Aaron Onan were not together with her in a full way because she wasn't yet ready to be Makabal Kedushin. That means that she wasn't Kona. Number 5, she covered her face, and therefore the Yashavel Lozona. I realized that Rashi said she covered her face while she was in her father-in-law's house, so Yehuda didn't recognize her when she was dressed up as a Zona on the street. But another way of looking at it without Rashi is to say that she covered her face and therefore she was a Zona. Who sees a girl that covers her entire body? According to Shlach HaKadosh, she was covered with a black blanket over her entire body. I mean, Yehuda's looking on the side of the street and he sees a blob on the ground. And he's just like, that's a girl. I can tell. What is that? How in the world, where's the taiva? Where did that happen? So the Medrash Rabbah in Parak Hey, Simon Chas says that a Malach came and gave him a crazy taiva. And he couldn't take it. He saw a blob and he's just like, oh, that's a crazy blob. And he had an unbelievable taiva and he wanted to be together with that taiva. Similar to tzaddikim together with the Yafas Torahs. With the Yafas Torah, there's a concept that tzaddikim have a certain type of a taiva, dafka for a holy woman. That's exactly what happened. The Moshe Zakeim says the word bayit appears only one other place in the Torah, and it's the word bayit. Anybody know where that word appears? It's by Bilam's donkey. Bilam's donkey went out on the side of the road, meaning his donkey led him. He's going the other way, and all of a sudden his donkey is riding him the other way, and he lands right in front of that blob. And he's like, hi. Not so sure what I'm doing here. Gemara Sotah Daf Yudim and Aleph says he asked her 4 questions. I dare you. You're willing to ask these questions. Number 1, are you Jewish? She said, yes. Are you married? She said, no. Are you betrothed to anyone? She said, no. Are you a Nida? She said, no. She's like, all right. That's there. Done with that. Gemara Sotah Daf Yudim and Aleph. You should know, by the way, I don't remember exactly where it was. I have a gematria. That goes that entire pasuk that says the whole line in Sota with that pasuk that says that he was together with her is the exact same gematria. It's not off by 1 or 750 or 262. It's exact. The exact same thing. The exact same thing right there. Number 7. I don't know what I'm on. He was Mekadosher with 3 things altogether. He was Mekadosher with Silcha, Kosamcha, and Matzcha. Okay. Let's go through these things. The Silcha is either Tfillin, that's the letters of Psil, or it's referring to the Psil, which is the Tzitzis. Okay, the Tzitzis we know is a guardian against the rise. That's Gemara and Menachos, Sephanem, Dalai, Menachos, with a man who's together with his own. The Tzitzis guards you from a rise. Tfillin. Who gives their Tfillin to his own? That's not a good move. You're not going to get those Tfillin back. You don't do that. Aside from that, the Tzitzis, like you're giving it over, you're just like, I got something. You take up the Tzitzis? Not a good move. That's number 1. Number 2, Kosamcha. Here's a tip, guys. you're going to do something like this, chas v'shalom, don't give something with your name on it. That's not a good idea either. The chosen had his name on it, and had a picture of a lion, and said, from the shvatim. That's not something you give to stama girl. That's something you give to somebody you're mekadesh, that you do kiddushin with, but not stam. And the final one was supposed to be the matzah. You know where this matzah came from? It's not just stama matzah, like a staff. He's just like, here, take this staff. This matzah came from Yaakov. We got it from Yitzchok, we got it from Avraham, we got it from Shem. Shem got it from Noah, Noah got it from Mizushela, Mizushela got it from Hanok, Hanok got it from Shay, Shay got it from other reasons. It's an awesome staff. You don't just give that up to somebody. You don't just say like, oh, here, take this. So that's the pshat, that when you look through this entire mitzvah, the whole thing is crazy. The whole thing is unbelievable. What's going on with Yehuda and Tamar? There's so many things behind it, and there's so much more Yehuda. You know, the Al Shepes, he says, why didn't it mention Yehuda's first wife's name? It just said she was Bat Shua. But by Tamar, it mentions straight out that she was Tamar. The Al-Shef answers, because Tamar was Roy for Yehuda to marry. But the first girl that she married, the first girl that he married, Bat Shua, was not supposed to be married by Yehuda. So why did Yehuda marry her? Why did Yehuda marry her in the first place? A simple question. Based on that Al-Shef, why in the world did that happen? So I found Rav Wolfson. This Rav Wolfson is in the middle of nowhere, Moshe Wolfson from Brooklyn. Says about him, typically Kedusha consists of the right side, or Yom. That's Kedusha. Or let's just say Yom. Tuma is represented by Choshech. Lila is represented by the small, that's the name. Samach Mem Aleph Lamed, the Sam of God, of whatever you want to call it, the poison of God, so to speak, is the name of the Sakhan. That's small, that's the left side of a person, because the sin and the Samach are interchangeable. So those three things, and the Rosh Hashanah, it's also to carry from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Because you can't mix in Kedusha with Tuma. Kedusha with Tuma don't go together. You cannot have one to the other. It's impossible to have Kedusha and Tuma together. When you have that, it's going to cause terrible, terrible things to happen. At Hanukkah, however, everything is different. It's pure revolts and connected with Hanukkah. Nobody else would do this, but you've got to be a chassid, you know? If you're chassidish and you got kayas, then you'll be able to do this. Hanukkah, what's Hanukkah all about? Kufortzu, Chomos, Migdalah. What did the Yavanim do? They broke down the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the definition of a Reshus HaYachid. They made the Reshus HaYachid into a Reshus HaRabin. So what do we do? Mida Keneged Mida. We go up against them. What do? We take our menorah and we light where? In the Reshus HaRabin. B'davka in the Reshus HaRabin. Granted, Minhag Eretz Yisrael, not in America, it's worth something. But in the Minhag Eretz Yisrael, you take it and you put it in the Reshus HaRabin. Why in the Reshus HaRabin? Because we're trying to go against whatever the Yavanim did. Taking their Tumah and bringing it into our Kedusha, we're trying to take our Kedusha and lead it out to their place of Tumah. We bring our menorah and davka. Where should a menorah be lit? Above 3 tefachim and under 10 tefachim. You ever tried lighting under 10 tefachim? The lights have to be under 10 tefachim. You ever tried lighting on a 10 tefachim? 10 tefachim is the size of this table. Okay? This table. Well, how are you going to put a menorah? Where are you going to put the menorah? It's going to be like this. Does anybody put the menorah that low? That low down in the ground? Granted, if you put it outside, granted it could happen. But it's very hard to have a menorah that far down. Why does it have to be? Because what happens over 10 tefachim in a Reshus HaRabin? It's no longer Reshus HaRabin. It's called the Makom Patur. But that's what we want on Hanukkah, to take our Kedusha and put it in the Reshus HaRabim, to knock down their Tumah. Because above that is Malkum Patur, a different area altogether. That's what we're trying to do on Hanukkah, and this is exactly what Yehuda wanted to do as well. Yehuda realized there was a lot of Tumah coming into Kedusha. Shechem had already taken Bina and entered some bit of Tumah within the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. And Yehuda now wanted to do the opposite way. He wanted to take a woman, Bas Shua. How do you spell Shua? Shin Bav Ayin. Same letters as Esther. He wanted to take that Tumah of Esther and bring some Kedusha and infuse the Tumah out there. Infuse it with Kedusha. And Yehuda said, this is the perfect time. Yosef is gone. Vayered Yehuda. Yehuda went down. He went down to under 10 tefachim in the Reshus HaRabim. He went down. He went out away from his brothers. Away from the Reshus HaYachid. He went out to the place of Tumah to be able to affect those people out there. Sometimes you go too far to look. Sometimes you get a little too far. I don't want to blast Kiruv campus rabbis, but Kiruv on campus is a very hard thing to do. I have no idea how those study can do it, but it is one of the most impossible things I could ever imagine anyone doing. I would have to gouge my eyes out on the first day, first hour, and even then, there's no shyness. You got to be very careful. Very careful. When you go on, who gets affected the most by this tumor? When you bring it into your house, you start having certain people over for Shabbat that are not good influences. Your kids get it. Your kids are affected. your kids start going down. And that's Aaron Onan. There was some bit of tumor that Bathsheba brought into the house that Yehuda did not think was going to be a factor that destroyed Aaron Onan. And had he not done that, if he would have married Tamar straight up, instead of marrying Tamar off to Aaron Onan, instead of marrying his first wife, things would have been so much better for Yehuda. He would have had Peretz and Zerach immediately. Instead, Aaron Onan has to be in these galgal into Peretz and Zerach. It has to be done in a different way, and Mashiach has to come in a different way. But Yehuda had such an idea of what he wanted to do. But again, everything's Min HaShemayim. I can go into you guys know the Malach HaKasher? You know HaKasher, right? Nobody knows Malach HaKasher? Esther, the Malach that Esther used all over the place? Nobody ever knows this. How come nobody ever knows this? My gosh. 661 and 662. Hasriel and Hasri. Okay, regardless. There's a Malach. He's awesome. His name is Akasri, and he's got the Aleph Lamed at the very end. Sometimes he's known as Kasri without the Aleph in the beginning. Sometimes he's known with Akasri, and then there's an L at the very end. Sometimes he's known as one way, sometimes he's known as the other way. It's one of the two. He is an unreal Malach who writes down all the squeeze for Klai Yisrael, puts it in a little book, and gives it over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was 100% involved in the Maisa, and that's the reason why Esther had him. And that's why Esther is the Gematria of 661, which is the Gematria of Akasri without the Aleph. Yoshev B'Seser Elyon. You've heard of that before, right? You said it once or twice, Shabbos day, and then maybe most of Shabbos, depends on how tired you are. Yoshev B'Seser is the Gematria of Akasri. That's the whole point, that the Malach HaKasri saves us from all the Shadim that are mentioned in Yoshev B'Seser Elyon. That's the whole point of what you're trying to do. That Malach HaKasri was able to save Yehuda from doing a terrible night figure. He was involved the entire way through, and that's the reason why. It's again Rosh Davis. I forgot where this is from, but it's probably from the Ksamsofer rocks. Hakir no, v'miyach hosemetz v'apsilim amata ha'ilah. Please recognize who did the Chosemes and the Psilim, who do these belong to, and the Matah, who do they belong to? The last letters are Resh Aleph Yud, Tough Men, Hey. Figure it out. It's a Kasri altogether. Because it's all from a Kodesh Baruch Hu who was fully involved. And now comes the clincher. How much time do I have? 11:25. I have another 5 minutes. So we'll go. 5 minutes, okay? Yosef and Zleika. Her name was Zleika. It was Esh Potifar. Let's try to understand this a little bit. Some still says she was Bobby Miskar. There's no question she was Miskar. She's bound to become a Gior. There's no way that he would have thought about anybody else if she wasn't Miskar. There's no way he would even consider her if she wasn't Miskar. So she was Miskar. I mean, you got a problem. She was married. She wasn't married. How do you have Gerishin by a non-Jew? Do you have a get? By a Jew, you have a get. What do you do by a non-Jew? There's nothing, really. You know what it is? It's not being Yachid her for Bia anymore. Not being able to be together with her anymore. That's what's Miskarish the woman. That's the Machlokas. But according to Rishonim, it should be not being able to be together with her anymore. That's considered a garrison by non-Jews. What was Potiphar? According to the Gemara, Sotah, he was a Sris. He was a eunuch. He didn't have the ability to be together with his wife anymore. Which means they were essentially divorced. Not only that, Yaakov Avinu says, Potiphar was in on it. He was the stargazer. He looked up at the stars and he said, wow, Ishus Potiphar and Yosef Atzadik are going to have a child. And that child is going to be awesome. It's going to be Mashiach ben Yosef. There's going to be an unbelievable child. So he said to his wife, go seduce Yosef. So Yaakov, Yosef Atzadik didn't have the excuse anymore. Your master, my master keeps everything from, gives everything to me except for you. It's not true. Potiphar was all for it. Here's the problem. She wasn't necessarily the most beautiful woman in the world. She had chaim, Marsha, second parak of Sanhedrin. She had chaim, you know, Isha Yerachash and Zawa. Sheker HaChaim to have all Yopi. Sheker HaChaim is a reference to Yosef Zadakon of the Gemara. That Chav Beis went out. The Marsha says, referring to Isha Potiphar because she wasn't beautiful. But she had chaim. There was something to her that people loved. People loved something about her. And she was mutter. She was a Gioris. She wasn't married. And Potiphar was like, I'm all for it. And that was the issue with Yosef Atzadik. Says the Chassam Sofer, it was so hard for him to make this decision because they were all for it. They were all saying it. Rav Shur says a whole thing that he has to say the word lamor, lamor shikh vayimi. She just wanted him to say the word sleep with me. Because if you say those words, that brings you something, that brings you to a level of tumah. Say these words of tumah and you will become a tameh person. Instead, vayima ein. He said over and over and over again, vayima ein, vayima ein, vayima ein. And that's the shalshalas. Svatana says if you say any word three times it'll stop you from doing any aveir. If you say, whoa, 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 whenever you're about to do an aveir, says the Sfatanis, it'll stop you from doing any aveir. I wouldn't touch that in public. But I will tell you, the Sfatanis says it, if you're talking from the Sfatanis, if you have a little bit of something from the Sfatanis, Just go ahead and try it. If something happens and you can't, say no 3 times. Or say, I will not. Or say, that's absurd 3 times. And to guarantee says the stuff down that's going to be able to help you. Yosef said, I was so confused. So you know what he did? He made a shade. Time him and hug him. In Hilchos Purim, says that he created a shade, a demon, that looked exactly like him. Exactly like him. And he gave the shade over to Potiphar. And Zuleika saw it and didn't want to be together with the shade anymore. And that's the Seu Bebigdo. She grabbed onto his beged, said that Taminagim means the word Bogat in his betrayal. And she said to him, I don't want the shade anymore. I want you. There's a big difference between a shade and you. I want Dafka you. I want to be together with you. I want it to be you. You're the person in charge. So what happened? He fell. Yosef Tzadik again had that Hetzer, and he said to himself, perhaps there's something here. The stars are all for it. Maybe there's something going on. Maybe there's something here. So he went in on the day of her holiday. Now, what was the day of the holiday? Two pshatim and Rashi. Avi went in to do the cheshbonos. To do cheshbonos in his thing, so that way he'd have something on his mind so he wouldn't have to think about Ishus Potiphar at all. Or, Lassos Yisrael. To be together with him. Chas v'shalom. Yosef had to go in to be together with Ishus Potiphar? According to the Chassam Sofer, there were Hetzerim. Granted, there are Hetzerim. Chas v'shalom was going to be together with Ishus Potiphar. Such a strange manner. What happened? Maral Diskin says he went in to test himself. Yosef HaTzadik was still young, and he knew that the only way to become a melech, the only way to become great, is to pass a test of Arias. And Yosef HaTzadik thought he'd be able to do it the same way Yehuda thought he'd be able to do it with Bathsheba, and he didn't make it. He fell too far down. He went all the way down to the ground, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu had to come by and show him, "You can show others." The face of the sovereign. Can you see the face of the sovereign? Yaakov Avinu didn't know he was alive. How's he supposed to see the face of the sovereign? The answer is because Yaakov gave his face on the Kisei HaKavod. That's Anochi Lo Yadati. When he said that, Anochi Lo Yadati, I had no idea I was on the Kisei HaKavod. Yaakov Avinu's face on the Kisei HaKavod. The Kisei HaKavod on Hanukkah comes all the way down to help out any Jews. According to the Hasidim, there's a hand reaching out from Shemayim to take in anybody who wants to do tshuva. Anybody who wants to do tshuva. It's pulling you in. It's saying, just grab my hand. Just come. I'll bring you up. That's what Hanukkah is all about. That's what Yaakov Avinu's dream was all about. Where he's lying down on the ground and the Kisei HaKavod comes down to him. That's what Yosef HaTzadik dreamed about. The sun, the moon, and the stars bowing down to him. Anybody ever see the moon bow? How does a round object bow? Or the sun? A star? What does it do? Does it fold itself over? I can't even imagine it. It's not there. You can't bow. The answer is it doesn't bow. It comes down. Said Yosef HaTzadik in his dream, the sun and the moon and the stars were bowing down to me. Said Yosef HaTzadik, the sun and the moon and the stars will even come down to me when I'm down in the dirt, when I'm all the way down and I've got no one else to ask for help. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guaranteeing me that he'll always be with me and he'll pick me up and he'll bring me out, said Yosef Yaakov Avinu. Chas v'shalom. That'll never happen. Yavi Shamar Zadavar. But he watched out for it because he knew maybe there is a shekel space. Maybe Yosef HaTzadik will eventually come to the point where something bad will happen. Something terrible will happen. He didn't know. That was the dove, the Torov Torat Yosef the Yaakov was referring to. It was a reference to something that was going on right then. What a connection. It's unbelievable, right? Who is the moon in the dream bowing down to Yosef HaTzadik? Yaakov assumed it was Rachel. That the moon was Rachel. And he said, Havo, and even in Chavasacha, do you think me and your mother and your brothers are going to bow down to you in Mitzrayim? But instead it's referring to Bilhah. It's unbelievable, no? Why was it referring to Bilhah? Why refer to Bilhah in the dream? Why is Bilhah the mother of Yosef? I mean, ask him. Because why? She raised him, right? And we know that if you're raising an orphan in your house, it's considered like you raised that person up. It's considered like your son. Where did we learn that halacha from? And if we knew that halacha, why was Yaakov Avinu questioning what the dream was all about? Is Rachel going to come? It's referring to Bilhah. How did Yaakov Avinu not know? Josh Borden knew. Did she not know? Did Rachel not know? The answer is no. Every generation has certain halachos that you are able to come up with that no one else was ever able to come up with before you. See, at the end of your Shemoneh Esrei every day, but it's conveniently usually skipped. Because usually at the end of our Shemoneh Esrei it's more like this. And the Rosh just did slot one, so you're out. That's what ends up happening. The same halkeinu b'sorasecha. They say Chokinu, by the way, the only time that we mention the Beis HaMikdash is in that Yehirasa. There's no other mention of the Beis HaMikdash anywhere in our tefillah except for that Yehirasa. But they say Chokinu v'Torasecha. Chiluk in Torah means every single one of us has a Chiluk in Torah. I'm never going to have the same Chiluk that you're going to have. You're not going to have the same Chiluk that I have. Everybody has a Chiluk in Torah, something that is yours and yours alone, a halacha that you came up with, that no one else came up with. That's an awesome little idea. The halacha, Kol Megadlo Yosin Besok Beso, you who you love, was not made up yet. You know where the concept came up? Only after Yosef married Osnas. By the way, if there's anything I can thank my parents for, it's for not making me pronounce the tough, because Osnas just doesn't sound right. Osnas is much, much better than that. But Osnas married Yosef at Dadish, and they said, what's with the dreams? They looked up the dreams, they looked up the stars, and they said, but I thought it was supposed to be Ishis Potiphar. And they realized, even though Osnas was not the daughter of Ishis Potiphar, even though Osnas was not really the daughter, but because they raised Osnas, it's considered like they gave birth to Osnas. So therefore, Ke'ilu were married to one another. Then they figured out Shapian in the dream. Who's the mother that's going to bow down to Yosef HaTzadik? It's Philip. Because Kolma Gabli Yosef so faceless, Ke'ilu Yalaga was only figured out at that point. Yaakov even didn't know it yet. It was a halakha that Yosef HaTzadik came up with. Why Yosef HaTzadik? It's a story for another time. But that concept is only there at that time, and that's the connection from the beginning of the parsha to the end of the parsha. That's that. Okay. I'm officially here for Beis Yisrael. We have done a lot of things over the past year. I don't know if anybody remembers Kobe Winters from last year, from Beis. Thank God. If you want to talk to somebody, you want to ask what Skokie's like, call up Kobe Winters. Okay, his phone number, I have it. I'm ready for it. But Kobe, just call him up. Ask him what's going on. We have something going on in Chicago. We brought back my brother, Uri. We brought back Jonas Dax, if anybody remembers him from the Kola last year. Both of them. We're planning on bringing more guys back to start joining this real big Kola. And we want to bring in more guys. I want a big Kola for this upcoming year. And if you find somebody, ask somebody. Is he happy? Is he happy where he is? Is he okay? Is he doing okay? Is his shir okay? Is it, well, here's my shir. If he's doing okay, if he's doing things that are good, call him up. I'm daring you. I'm daring you right now. Because if you want to find somebody who's going to enjoy the couple years that you have where you're learning, if you're, again, no question, if you're going to be staying in Eretz Yisrael, there's no question. If you're going to go back to New York, shoot yourself now. If you're going to go back, if you want to go back to a place in which people are going to make, you are going to be happy, where you're going to have, I'm going to make sure that there's a cover, then talk to us. Because we want to bring guys back and start a brand new time. You want to start a brand new type of yeshiva, a quick yeshiva where you can also have college on the side, but a yeshiva that's going to work for you, a yeshiva that's going to be there for you. That's our plan. That's what we really want to do. And again, test us. Call them up. See what we can do. Other than that, guys, it's been fun. Have a great job, and we'll see you all soon. Oh, God.